All right, welcome back to Weekend Warrior Podcast. This is episode 7, June 15th, 2017. Feels like it's been a while. It's been 9 days since we did our last one. Did last week a little bit early. So, here we are again. We are back. So, today we're going to be talking a lot of really NBA stuff for the most part. Getting into some interesting discussion about LeBron versus MJ, which I think is an interesting discussion to have. I also want to defend Kevin Durant a little bit. I don't know if Mike...
This is going to be good.
He's with that, but I want to defend Durant a little bit.
I'm looking forward to this.
And then, if we have time, we're going to get into some McGregor-Mayweather fucking madness.
We've got a loaded show today.
So we do have a very loaded show. Yeah. So, as always, our intro and outro music is provided by MDOT. You can find him on Instagram and Twitter at MDOTBoston. He's also on Spotify, and his new album, Ego and the Enemy, is available on iTunes. You can email us at weekendwarpod. So again, that's no E's. So WKNDWARPOD. That's at gmail.com, and that's also our Twitter handle as well. So at WKNDWARPOD. So again, email us, send us a tweet, send us a message in Morse code. Do whatever you got to do to get in touch with us, all right? So with that, let's get it started. All right, so as we correctly predicted.
Yes.
Thank you very much. It did go 5 games in the finals. Just completely overmatched.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it kind of shows you where the Celtics are, I guess.
Absolutely.
Imagine if this were the Celtics.
Yeah,
it would have lost by an average of 60 points.
It would have been really bad if it had been the Celtics. Yeah. I mean, look, the Warriors are just, they're just unbelievable right now. I mean, you look at that team and who they have and what they have and what they're capable of on a nightly basis. And it's almost not fair.
It isn't.
And so, and the Cavs are, the Cavs are 2 steps ahead of everybody in the East, and the Warriors are 2 steps ahead of the Cavs. So,
yeah.
Really, it's not close. And people saying, oh well, if the Spurs had gotten there, if the Spurs had had Kawhi healthy, they could have beaten them.
They would have won Game One. That's it.
Right. I mean, that's
But if the Cavs were in the West, how do you think they do?
They lose in the Western Conference Finals.
I know, but they were 51-31 this year. Are they that much better?
Well,
that's kind of like a, asterisk next to that because they rested.
Right. Anytime LeBron's involved, anytime you talk about the regular season, you just kind of throw it away. He doesn't care about the regular season, especially in the East. He's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. If he was in the West against the Warriors, you're going to get his best on a night in, night out basis because home court advantage could make a difference when you're going in the Western Conference Finals. In the Eastern Conference Finals, he's like, look, dude, we could play in Boston. We can play in Cleveland. We can play at Rucker Park. We can play in Miami. We can play wherever you want. We're going to beat you in 4 or 5 games. It really doesn't matter.
I've never seen a series like that where the team that has home court just got destroyed.
They just got
in the East Finals. I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean that. Look, I think we all understand what the Celtics are at this point. We all know what they are. Nobody, at least, see, this is the problem. Now that we're getting around to the draft, and people are saying, "Oh, well, maybe we should throw in all this crap for Kevin Love. Maybe we should try to get this guy. Maybe we should try to get." It's like, pump the brakes here, people. Did you not see the East Conference Finals? We got curb stomped by the Cavs, who went to the NBA Finals and got the absolute shit kicked out of them by the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So we're that far away from the Cavs, and they're that far away from the Warriors. So getting us kind of close to the Cavs doesn't help anything because we're still going to get the crap kicked out of us by Golden State when we get to the Finals. So it's like, stop. Like, let's build for the future. And if we can continue to win now and continue to play in the East Conference Finals or whatever, maybe we sneak through 1 year and get to the finals. Like, who knows? But for right now, let's not worry about that. Let's just try to build for the future And, you know, if guys come in, Gordon Hayward and, you know, guys like that, fine. But I'm not risking the future for right now.
Right, yeah. And that's the what people have that attitude because of the big three.
Right.
Garnett, and they just think that the window is 3 or 4 years. But it's really not with this team. Like they might have a 10-year window.
Right.
The way they're going to be built. But as far as the finals go, total travesty. Total, like, spit in the face in the game of basketball. Like, I wanted a good sequel to last year's series, which I thought was a hell of a series, especially Game 7. But we didn't get that at all.
And no, we did not.
I mean, the difference was clearly Durant, you know? I mean, well, coming from Harrison Barnes, you know, that's kind of an upgrade.
But. Yeah, a little bit of an upgrade. Well, at one point, I think it was it Van Gundy at one point, was like, well, you know, if he's watching at home, I bet you Harrison Barnes understands why Golden State. It's like, dude, you think he didn't get it until you watched him in the finals?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking about, you idiot? Like, I think maybe he got it, like, I don't know, when they were talking about signing Durant. Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, Durant, it makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
he was unbelievable. It was the NBA All-Star game if the All-Stars tried.
Right.
That's what every game was like.
It's true. It's true. I mean,
Cleveland had 82 points in the first half of Game 4. What?
Was it
82 points? Like, I remember, we might have talked about it here, but I remember the Celtics and Pistons played a playoff game in 02, and the final score was 66-64.
Yep.
Like, we've come a long way.
We have. Well, and that's, frankly, that brand of basketball doesn't win anymore. It just doesn't win. No,
it doesn't. It doesn't. If you can have a combination of it, then
right.
You can probably win. I think it's maybe where the Celtics are going to try and go, because they can score. They can score some of the best teams in the league.
I think so. I mean, well, you know, what's interesting about Golden State is that they kind of can play both ways, only because they can score so well on the offensive end. But on the defensive end, Thompson is a really good defender.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green is an excellent defender. Yep. Durant's a decent defender. He's not, like, the best defender ever, but he's pretty good. And Steph Curry's okay. He's not great, but he's okay. Right,
yeah.
And, you know, Zaza's kind of your big man down low who grabs rebounds. So he's more of just a guy, but he's a big guy that gets a lot of rebounds down low. You don't often see Zaza get beat out for easy rebounds.
No.
Like what happens to the Celtics, that doesn't happen to him. And so that's the type of thing that the Celtics are, well, that's not the only thing the Celtics are missing, but that's one of the things the Celtics are missing is that big man presence down low. He's not a great player. He's not a household name. Maybe he was after he hurt Kawhi Leonard, but, like, you know, he's not a household name. He's just a guy, but you need that type of guy that can grab rebounds and do those things.
Do you remember him with the Hawks?
I do.
In the 08 playoffs.
I can't believe that he's still in the league.
Nothing easy.
He's just Zaza. Oh, God. What a name. What a name. Zaza Pachulia. It just sounds like a
European basketball
player. Does. It actually does. Yep. You're right. So, which I guess is what he is. So, but so anyways, I mean, listen, Golden State is unfair. Really, is kind of unfair.
Bad for the league.
Yes,
terrible for the league.
You're right, and it you're right.
Not their fault though, because they drafted well.
That's true. Well, I mean, Durant's the only guy that was. I mean, he's not the only guy, but he's the only one of their superstars that they didn't draft. And so, look, they drafted well, and you got to take your hat off to him. I mean, what? What's his face? Draymond was a second round pick.
Yep.
Klay Thompson was like 11, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph Curry was what, like
fifth or sixth, I think.
Yeah, he was somewhere around there. So you know, none of these guys were number one picks either. I mean, you know, two of them lottery, and Draymond was at the end of was in the second round. But even still, you hit on those picks and they turn out to be superstars, and now you have this great team, and Durant joins them. Now,
that's what's bad for the league, is Durant joining them.
Right.
Because they won 73 games last year.
That is true. But as I just said with LeBron, the regular season matters not. It doesn't make a difference. And so, anyways, let's just get into it. I'm just going to defend Kevin Durant.
Okay.
And so for all of you that hate Kevin Durant, maybe you'll feel a little bit different, okay, after you hear me. Maybe you won't. Maybe you just think I'm an idiot. And that's okay. That's all right, too. That opinion is also welcomed. I welcome that opinion. You want to send me a tweet or an email saying, you dumb moron,
what the
hell's
wrong
with you? Like, that's fine. I will certainly, and I'll tweet you back. I will, get back to you, you know, if you wanna do that. So anyways, at WKNDWARPOD, Weekend War Pod, that's us. So here's the deal. Okay. Durant goes to the Warriors. He wasn't gonna win in Golden State. He was not going to win in
Oklahoma
State.
Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City, I'm sorry. He was not going to win in OKC. He wasn't going to. And people said, oh, well, you know, they were right there. They were up 3-1 against Golden State, and they could have won that series. And blah. That's fine. They were. But they lost that series. And then, before he left, they traded Serge Ibaka, who was the third best player on that team. And by the way, not very good. Serge Ibaka, like, you saw him on Orlando this year. He wasn't that good. He's okay, but he's not a superstar.
No, he's not.
And so he's your third best player. Right, decent player.
Yeah.
But he's your third best player. He's not good enough to beat Golden State.
They don't have the depth that Golden State does. You know?
Right.
Who's on their bench? It's like...
nobody's.
Andre Roberson.
And nobody's. And nobody's.
Yeah.
And nobody's. And nobody's. Oh, yeah. Steven Adams. Oh, don't forget about Steven Adams, right, playing center. Yeah, Steven Adams. Like, shut up. I heard someone saying that. Well, everyone, you know, we talk about OKC and everyone leaves out Steven. Yeah, everyone leaves out Steven Adams because he blows. Okay, right. That's why we leave out Steven Adams. But nevertheless, okay, so he wasn't going to win at OKC. So you understand him leaving. And him and Westbrook didn't get along as well. So that's another motivation for him leaving. But you're not going to win a ring in Oklahoma City. The NBA is about the place. It's not about the team. It's about the place, which is why the Celtics can never get a free agent because no one wants to come to Boston. That's why the fucking Lakers in 2 years are probably going to have LeBron and Paul George and a bunch of other fucking superstars, and they're going to be contending for titles too.
I think because Kobe they're might in come LA. Back
to that. Fuck Kobe. But because they're in LA, it's always a risk. Oklahoma City is the middle of freaking Tornado Alley.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
You're better off in Seattle.
No NBA players want to live in Oklahoma City. They just don't. Okay? So Westbrook's going to opt out, I think, after this year. I don't believe he can opt out yet. I think it's after next year. But either way, you know, he wasn't going to win there. And he didn't like Westbrook. So see you later. He's out. Okay? Here's something that people aren't talking about. Here's what people don't want to talk about. The Cleveland Cavaliers are better than the Golden State Warriors without Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Okay. Now people will say, well, wait a second. 2 years ago, the Warriors beat the Cavs in the finals, and that's true. However, Kelly Olynyk ripped Kevin Love's shoulder out of his socket, so he was out for the rest of the playoffs.
Beat him with his arm that he ripped off his body.
And then Kyrie Irving got hurt in game one of that series.
That's right.
So LeBron was playing. It was LeBron and a bunch of stiffs playing against the Warriors.
And he had one of the best finals ever. He should have won MVP of that
series. He was unbelievable, and they still almost freaking won the series, for God's sakes. So take out everybody else and forget about it. Last year, yes, they were up 3-1. Again, I don't care they were up 3-1. The Thunder were up 3-1 against the Warriors. Nobody believed the Thunder was better than the Warriors. And yet they were still somehow up 3-1. So the Warriors were up 3-1, and then the Cavs pulled their heads out of their asses and started playing well. And, you know, Kyrie got going, and LeBron started playing as well. And then that was it. And the Warriors could not keep up with that. And so you can say the Warriors are the greatest team ever, blah, whatever. Fine, they won 73 games. That's true. Except it's the regular season. Nobody cares about the regular season.
Without a ring.
Nothing. I mean, the Patriots could have been the greatest team of all time. They went 16-0. No one else has ever done that. That's true, but they lost the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, but you look at that Warriors team, and then you look at the Cavs team, and look, if I'm drafting, right, if we're drafting players, if I'm drafting number one, I draft LeBron. Even if Durant's on the Warriors. But let's say Durant's not on the Warriors. Take Durant off the Warriors. If you're drafting number one, you draft LeBron number one. At the number two pick, who do you take at number two?
Durant.
Well, forget about Durant.
Oh.
Take Durant out.
Number two?
Yep.
Kawhi? Probably Kawhi.
Kawhi plays for the Spurs. I'm talking about... Wait, I'm sorry. We're
miscommunicating. I thought you meant like...
Just the Warriors. Just the Warriors Cavs. Just Warriors Cavs. Just those two teams. Because I'm talking about... Now we're talking about the best team. Because The NBA is about star power. If you have the most stars, you're going to win, mm-hmm. basically, right? And so LeBron goes number one no matter what, against anybody. It doesn't matter who you're taking. LeBron's number one. He's the best player in the world right now, and we'll talk about why. But LeBron's number one. So take Durant off the Warriors. Pretend Durant doesn't play for the Warriors anymore.
Yeah.
Who are you taking number two?
Between the Cavs and the Warriors?
Between the Cavs and the Warriors.
Jeez, probably Kyrie.
Wait a second. What team does Kyrie play for?
The Cavaliers.
Hmm, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that in the series between the Warriors and the Cavs are the two best players in the series.
Yeah.
So that's all you need to know. Now, listen, you could make an argument, maybe, that Steph Curry is number, that you'd take Curry over Kyrie, yeah. right? You could make that argument, but it's really close. And nobody is close to LeBron. So you right. talk about yeah. you have one by a mile,
mm-hmm.
and then you have, if you don't have two, you have 2A, right? Yeah. And then the Warriors have their three guys, and then you have your third.
Yeah.
Right? Because Love's behind. I mean, maybe you would take Love over Thompson, although I wouldn't personally, but maybe some people would.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
But, you know, so then you have the next, the three Warriors, and then Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But even still, you look at that and say, okay, well, the Cavs have certainly the best player in the series, and maybe even the second best player in the series. Okay? Whatever. Fine. Here's the thing. This is what people forget about. Who started the super team? Right? You want to say the Celtics. Now, a lot of people say the Celtics started the super team, right?
Right.
LeBron. Did you know LeBron never played for a super team?
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, no, he never played for a super team. Doesn't know anything about it. Wouldn't know a thing about it.
What an insult to Chris Bosh.
What a fucking idiot that guy is, dude. It's really unbelievable. Because he leaves Cleveland where they have no chance of winning. Yeah. Rightfully so. No chance of winning Cleveland had. Because they had LeBron. They couldn't get anything else. Their one pickup was Antoine Jameson, like 20 years after his prime.
What was it, cap room? Is that what it was?
It was cap room and also draft capital. Yeah. And yeah, bad management is part of it too. And so
I'm into the conspiracy theory that he did that on purpose so that they would suck for 3 years and get three number one picks.
Well, maybe. And you're right about that. But think about it this way, okay? And this is what a lot of people don't think about this. He goes to Miami. He brings Bosch with him. He joins Wade in Miami. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then they come out with they have that whole stupid fucking thing with it. Not one, not two, yeah. not three, team wouldn't do that, not though. Four, so, not five. Like, dude, shut up.
A super team wouldn't do that.
Good point. Good point. Okay? So he goes to Miami and forms the best team in the NBA by far.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds familiar. That's interesting. Okay? Then they choke the first year against the Mavericks, who were, I'm sorry, were not even close to the level of the Heat that first year. They lost the freaking Mavericks. Then they win the next two, then they lose to the Spurs a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
So now LeBron looks at it again and says, geez, these guys are getting old. Wade's getting old.
Yeah.
Bosch is getting old. I can't win here anymore. But in Cleveland is Kyrie. They got the number one pick this year, so yeah. I can trade that for someone else. I'm going back to Cleveland. So he picks up his stuff, takes his talents back to Cleveland, and now, guess what? Makes the best team in the NBA again with him and Kyrie and Kevin Love. And so he's done that twice now. Twice and he's done that.
The writing's starting to get on the wall,
and
he's probably going to do it again.
He's absolutely going to do it again. I think Felger and Maz were saying, and I think it's actually a pretty good theory, the Cavs trade Love for Paul George to try to make one more run at it. Paul George and LeBron both opt out after next year and go to L.A. Ugh. And maybe Westbrook opts out and goes to L.A. with them. And now it's like, now they get like fucking six superstars on that team, and it's just off and running. So anyways, that just makes me sick. But the point is, okay, Durant's just doing what everyone else did. He's just doing what everybody else did. If you want to win a championship, and Durant's motive is to win a championship. If you want to win a championship and you want to compete against the Warriors, you know what the Warriors have already. You know what the Cavs have already. Where are you going to go where you can compete against either of those teams? If he had come to the Celtics, right? I don't mean to cut you off, but if he had come to the Celtics, he wouldn't have competed with the Cavs this year.
Sure,
no, they wouldn't have. I don't believe so. maybe they make it interesting. Maybe they go, you know, six games maybe. They don't win that series. The Cavs are still a better team than the Celtics. Now, maybe you say, okay, listen, play the long game, Durant. Come to the Celtics. We're going to get a great pick this year. We're going to get a great pick next year. But those guys don't really develop for 3 or 4 years. And so you're talking about putting that on hold for 5 or 6 years. That's a lot to ask one guy to do, right? Maybe he looks at it this year and says, okay, well, maybe I can leave Golden State and go to Boston now because Jaylen Brown's, you know, looks like a good player. They get the number one pick this year. They're going to have a good pick next year. But even still, he can't go anywhere else and compete for a championship. Or realistically compete for a championship, I don't think, at least, in my opinion.
I think, I'm not going to say it like, oh, he should have just come to the Celtics because I'm a Celtics fan. Because, like you said, I mean, do you beat Cleveland? I think you have a much better chance of beating Cleveland if you have Durant on your team. But if he stays in Oklahoma and look at the free agent class this year, you have Blake Griffin, who would have been perfect in Oklahoma.
It's true.
And
he went to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's true.
And if you wait there and, you know, yeah, he didn't get along with Westbrook, but it's a mentality thing today that, you know, you have to go to the best team to win your championships. And they don't care about how, you know, fans will say, well, you didn't earn it. Right? And you just buy championships now. And see, you're almost making me want to defend Kevin Durant. But I don't know. I say either stay in Oklahoma City, do it the right way, you know. But also, you're a free agent. You got drafted by Oklahoma City, so they essentially own you for the first 5 years of your career. So,
right.
Well, Seattle.
Right. Right. But we know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, well, this is the thing, right? Look at it this way. This is how I look at it. It's not just that he left. He was the best player on the Warriors. And it really wasn't. I'm sorry, Steph Curry. It really wasn't that close.
Yeah. They looked unbelievable. I don't want to say best team ever because I think, you know, a lot of teams in history could beat them. But I think as far as, like, the skill that this team has and the way that they looked against Cleveland, they made Cleveland look like a number 8 seed.
Right. Yeah, it's almost unmatched as far as skill and talent level. Mm-hmm. I've never seen them like it before. And it's just, with Durant on the floor, he just changes everything.
How do they hit every shot?
It's unreal.
They don't miss.
No, they don't. Well, and that's what's funny is that they'll go cold every now and again, and then you just kind of wait. Like, game four, they went cold. They were cold game four. And I was just waiting for them to just get hot. Because if they get hot, it's like, see you later, they're gone. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they didn't obviously get hot in game four. But for the most part, they're typically hitting every freaking shot. And you're like, what the hell, dude?
Most insane shots, too.
Like, some of them are just stupid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, look at J.R. Smith at the end of the second half, at the end of the first half, even in game five, was hitting ridiculous threes. And so, you know, sometimes you just feel it. But that's the thing is they have so many good players that chances are one or two of those guys are going to feel it every night.
Right.
Right? Klay Thompson didn't have a great finals offensively. I thought he played very well defensively.
Yeah, I did too.
Offensively, he didn't have a great series. But it's okay because Curry had a good series and mm-hmm. Durant had a good series and Draymond Green had a good offensive series. So he didn't need him as much.
Even Iguodala had a good series. You know, so I mean,
well, it's true. I mean, offensively, they have so many weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the one thing is that it's almost not fair with them.
Right. They're an Olympic team, pretty much. They're Team USA.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they kind of... Well,
mine is Zaza, but...
Right, well, of course. Right? It's a good point. So, but I will say, and the other thing I will say is I was texting back and forth with my cousin Artie. Excuse me. A little frog in my throat here. And he was saying, which I agree with, Durant is like a generational player, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy to see him get a ring because you want to see those guys get rings. But I understand where people are coming from. Look, I don't love it either. but you got to do what you got to do, I guess, especially in this league where you know, and you say, do it the right way. And that's fine. But who does? Give me a guy who does it the right way.
Dirk did it. Dirk did it the right way.
Okay. When was
Tim Duncan did it the right way?
Well, Tim Duncan, right. Tim Duncan did it the right way.
The Spurs do it the right way. I mean, obviously, like...
Hold on. You say Tim Duncan did it the right way. When did he win his first championship?
1999.
And what year did he get drafted?
97.
So 2 years, and so he was...
Right, but he stayed there. Well, and he could have went to Orlando and started the super team at Grant Hill.
Well, that's very true. That is very true. But, like, you know, they were good. It's not like they had a long period of down years where they couldn't compete against anybody. They were good for a long period of time, and they were good consistently. So it's not like he had to make a decision about, we can't compete anymore. They could always compete.
Right.
You know, whereas Durant, you look at that and say... Realistically, OKC isn't going to compete with anybody unless they're able to bring in another superstar, right? Not draft somebody, bring in another superstar, yeah. And that just it just seems unrealistic.
Can you just imagine in different eras if players did stuff like this?
Oh, I mean,
like super teams, like even like I mean, you can think in the 80s if like Magic was like, you know what, I'm tired of losing in the finals, I'm going to go to Boston. Like after the 1984 finals. Like, can you imagine that? Or in the 2000s if AI went to the Lakers.
Oh, my Lord.
Just imagine that.
Right. And oh, it's true. I mean, it's very true.
That's why I put those teams and those players on a higher pedestal than anybody today. These guys could score 200 points a game, not miss a shot, and it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Because there's no heart there, you know?
Well, and that one part of it you're right about. I mean, you're totally right about it there, is that part of their game is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It's never coming back.
Right. And LeBron will forever be tainted from the decision.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, how could forever. You not be? You got fucking Cleveland kids from the Boys and Girls Club sitting around you, and you announce you're going to Miami? It's like, what the hell are you doing, dude? Yeah. Like, that was a massive mistake. And he's recovered from it a little bit, but... I don't know how anyone could ever look at LeBron and not think of the decision.
Yeah. I liked him. He was one of my favorite players in the league before that.
Yeah.
I loved him when he was coming up. I watched his high school games on ESPN.
Yeah, it was ugly.
And
it was really ugly.
You know, and people say he recovered when he went to Cleveland. I don't buy that because he did the same thing to Miami. And obviously Miami's not as passionate as a sports town as Cleveland is, but still.
Well,
it's the same idea.
Right.
It's a coward type of thing. It's like you see the writing on the wall where this team isn't going to be in a championship level, or is what you see as a championship level, so you get out of there.
Well, exactly, and that's what a lot of people don't say about his trip back to Cleveland. They say, well, he went back to Cleveland and win them a championship. No! He left Miami because Miami, he saw the writing on the wall, just like you said. He saw the writing on the wall. Then they can't win in Miami.
Right.
And so he said, I'm out. And I'll go back to Cleveland because, number one, they'll take me easily. Anyone would have taken him, obviously.
Yeah.
But it looks like a great reclamation project for me. And guess what? We're going to have the best team in the NBA again. So it was a win-win for him because he said, I can go back to Cleveland, reclaim my image, but also still have the best team in the NBA.
But if there was a better situation in Los Angeles with the Clippers, 100%. He would have gone there.
100%.
It's not about who offers him the most money. It's about his brand, and it's about he has to be in the finals every year.
Yep. And people will see that. People will see that after this year when he leaves Cleveland to go to LA.
Yep.
So.
And he was in a lot of people's good graces when Durant went to...
Oh, absolutely.
Went to Golden State.
Well, that's everyone said, well, you know, LeBron's finally not the enemy anymore. And I was like, dude. I'm sorry. During that finals, I was rooting for Golden State because I was like, you know what? I can't root for LeBron. There's no fucking chance I can root for LeBron.
I rooted for him last year.
So,
and I guess, I mean, I was very neutral this year, I guess.
Yeah.
I was hoping both teams would lose, but that obviously can't happen.
That's true. That is very true. So, well, listen, on the LeBron topic, let's get into a little bit LeBron versus MJ. It's been a hot topic, really, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, it's worthy of a discussion, I think, because here's the thing about LeBron, and realistically, he's the best player in the world right now.
The best player of his generation.
100%. It's not even close. It's not even close. And, you know, he has the ball in his hands. He can go anywhere, and do anything at any time from any spot on the floor. Mm-hmm. And there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. You can't stop him. He gets that ball in his hands like that, and he decides he wants to go to the rim. You're not stopping him. He's going to the rim. Maybe you foul him. Maybe you don't. Maybe you finish. But you're not going to stop him. And so, offensively, with the ball in his hand, it's ridiculous. There's nothing you can do to contain him.
He's like if scientists put together a basketball player.
He really is.
As a hybrid of Jordan, Magic, Bird, Russell, and some Wilt.
Well, and his basketball IQ is so high. He makes some phenomenal passes. He's a great passer. He's a pretty good defender. He has a lot of flashy defensive plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's as consistent defensively as some other people were. Like, Jordan was consistently
a phenomenal
defensive player. Mm-hmm. LeBron, not necessarily quite as much. He probably has more, like, flashy plays than Jordan does.
Yeah, like, he's got the big block. The
chase down blocks or whatever. But, you know, LeBron's not the type of guy where you say, okay, we're putting you on the number one guy and you're going to shut him down
tonight. Right.
He's not that type of guy. Yeah. Whereas Jordan could do that.
Yeah.
So.
Because I was reading, what finals was it? Might have to come back to it. But, well, yeah, we'll just go on. It'll come back to me.
Okay.
It was about how the Bulls put Pippen on one player in the finals and they put Jordan on the center. I think it was the 91 Lakers. That's what happened. They put Pippen on Magic, and they put Jordan on Vlade Divac.
Vlade Dottie.
So, I mean, a shooting guard on a center,
right.
And it still worked.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's just, you know, Michael was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, if you compare the two, I mean, Jordan's 6-0 in the finals. And, yeah, LeBron's been there 8 times, and I think we can give him credit for that. He's 3-5 in the finals. So, do we stop criticizing him for losing in the finals just because he makes it there so many times?
Well, that's true.
But comes up short? Because look at, he's lost to the Spurs twice. Totally gave up in the, the first one I don't really blame him for because, right.
They sucked.
Yeah. But the second one, the last one with the Heat, he totally,
threw
in the towel.
That was ugly.
Did the same thing against the Mavericks.
Right. That's true.
He's lost to the Warriors twice. Yeah.
Right. And again, I think the first one of the Warriors you can't put on him because it was a one-man team, basically.
Right. And I don't think you can put this one on him either. He averaged a triple-double in the finals.
Yeah, he was pretty unbelievable. However, even though he was unbelievable, one of the things for me, and I want to get into Game 5 specifically with LeBron, but this is the thing. On paper, I feel like LeBron is the best player of all time. On paper now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can play defensively against all 5 guys on the floor, and he can compete against all 5 guys on the floor. He can play all 5 positions on the floor offensively as well, and he can compete at all 5 positions offensively. He can do everything. He's the most complete player I've ever seen, as far as his offensive game, his basketball IQ is so high, like I was saying. He makes those great passes that Magic made, that Bird made. But he also finishes around the rim better than those guys did. He's more athletic. He's tall, blah, blah. I mean, we can keep going on and on and on.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The game isn't played on paper.
Right.
Okay? The game isn't played on paper. And I have to tell you, I hate the 3-5 argument only because, as a Patriots fan, that's all I heard about Brady when he had won 4 Super Bowls. Well, yeah, he's won 4 Super Bowls, but he's lost 2. Joe Montana was 4-0, never threw an interception in the Super Bowl. But this whole thing, it's like, well, wait a second.
Right, well, that's what I mean by, do you still criticize him just, for losing those games? Because it's harder to make it than it is to win.
Right, which is true. It's harder to make it more
often. Because Elway was in 5, and he was 2-3, and...
Right.
He won his last 2. And LeBron will go to more.
He'll probably go every year.
3 or 4 more left in him.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up with 7 or 8 championships. Rings is what I mean.
I don't know about that.
Well, why not? I mean, at this point...
He's 32. He's been in the finals 7 years in a row. That's a lot of games.
Well, it is. I mean, I didn't understand that.
Almost 120 games a year.
It's true. I mean, he's never been hurt for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. If he were ever to get hurt, then, you know, that would put that... But he doesn't seem like he's slowing down anytime soon.
No, but you're starting to see the change in style.
That's true. It is true.
And he'll become a different player as he gets older, much like Jordan did.
Right.
And much like a lot of great players do.
Right.
But yeah. Jordan especially, I mean, you notice, you know, he wasn't as flashy as he got older. He was smarter.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Well, you're right about... I mean, look, you are right about that. I do agree. I mean, but at the same time, you know that LeBron, the GM, is going to build great teams, and he's going to play on great teams. And so
I don't think there's anything stopping him. There's the difference. You know, it's like I was saying, it was a different mentality back then. And
right.
Also, I mean, another thing with Jordan, he went to six finals. I almost said he only went to six finals, but he had a really tough Eastern Conference back then.
Yeah.
You look when he started in the 80s, only three teams from the East went to the finals.
Yeah.
Celtics, the Sixers, and the Pistons. So he had to play the Celtics in the mid-80s at the height of their powers.
Right.
Had to play the Pistons, try and get through them in the late 80s.
Brutal. Yeah.
And then, you know, he was the dynasty and after that.
Right.
But he had to go through the Knicks.
Yep.
He had to go through Indiana, who had some good teams back mm-hmm. then. So
He did. It was a significantly mm-hmm. more competitive league back then than it is now.
Yeah.
Significantly more competitive. So, and, you know, I mean, part of it, like you said, is that mentality thing. They never even thought about making a super team. They just didn't think about that. And again, you can say the 86 Celtics were a super team. You can say that the LA Lakers were a super team. But at the end of the day, it wasn't like they were getting those pieces as they went. You know, like they, you know, the Lakers were great, and then they drafted James Worthy number one. Like, it's not like they traded for that guy or he signed mm-hmm. in free agency. You know, the Celtics were great. They had Larry Bird, and then they, you know, drafted McHale and traded for Parrish. And same deal, got them.
Right.
So it's not like they, and they, you know, they got Bill Walton, but he was basically a role player at the time. So
yeah. So
it's not like they didn't acquire those superstars through trades and free agency. They acquired them by drafting.
Right.
Or they acquired them all at the same time.
Yeah.
And so... You know, you can look at that and just say it's a different. It is definitely a different mentality.
Yeah, it's just a different era, and I think that's kind of just like the way culture is now. The way people are is they just need like that instant gratification. Absolutely.
Well, that's why
Kevin Durant went to the team that won 73 games last year.
True.
Exactly why he did it, and you know it sucks, but it is what it is. And now you have a team like the Celtics who. I don't think they're going to build a super team the way that the Warriors, or not maybe not the Warriors, but like the Heat or the Cavs did. They're going to do it through the draft, and they're going to do it through a free agent here and there.
Yeah.
Maybe a trade.
Right.
So, I mean, that's they're an easier team to root for.
That's true.
In this definitely sort true. Of era, but.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things I wanted to talk about with LeBron, and I said, you know, on paper he's the greatest player, but, you know, here's the thing. Game 5, specifically Game 5, boils down to one run for about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Warriors were down 8. By the end of the run, they were up 11. 21-2 was the run. The Cavs had 10 possessions during that. Now, think about that. The Warriors scored 21 points. The Cavs had 10 possessions, which means at maximum, the Warriors had 11 possessions, and they scored 21 points, which is just foolish. Okay? But... Either way, the game was out of control at that point. By the time the timeout was called, or by the time they ended the streak, they were down 11, and the game was over. And then they, you know, they got it. I think they got it as high as 17, and then J.R. Smith hit those two big threes. And by the end of the second quarter, it was back down to 11. But the game was just out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think it was like 5 minutes and 20 seconds. It wasn't very long. I mean, it was over that quick.
How insane how quick they move the
ball. Well, and that's really it, right? But so here's the thing. This is my thing. LeBron, during that time, the Cavs took 8 shots. They had 10 possessions, 2 turnovers. By the way, neither of them were by LeBron. So you can look at that and say, well, LeBron didn't have the ball at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They took 8 shots. LeBron took 2. 2. 2 out of 8. Not good enough. Not enough. You're the best player in the world.
Yep.
If your team is getting killed and the game is slipping away from you, and it's not just the game, by the way. It's an elimination game of the NBA Finals. You say, listen, guys, I know this for you other guys out here. It doesn't matter. I'm taking over, and I am going to put this team on my back, and we're going to end this streak and keep ourselves alive. Because if you don't do that, you're going to lose and the series is over. It's that simple. And so MJ would have never let that happen.
Jordan, in Game 6 of the 93 Finals against the Suns, I don't know what the score was going into the fourth, but the Bulls won by 3. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. Jordan scored the first 19. That's a player putting his team on his back. That's like a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Bird against Dominique.
Right.
Bird, 20 points in the fourth. Only time I can remember LeBron doing that is against Detroit in the East Finals in 06.
Right. Well, again, his team sucked and he really had no
choice,
right?
He scored like 26 out of 28 points or something.
Right, and that's, and again, and look, this is my take on LeBron. Oh, and by the way, for the just so we're clear here, the end of the, from the second quarter to the end of the third, so this is the full second quarter, okay? The whole second quarter to the end of the third,
mm-hmm.
or to the start of the third, to halftime. LeBron played the full 12 minutes. The Cavs took 21 shots
mm-hmm.
in the second quarter. LeBron took 6. Not enough. Not good enough. Less than 30%.
I don't care that you have a triple-double at halftime.
And so, right.
Don't get an assist to score.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And so
you're LeBron James. You can score at will.
So here's my take on LeBron. Yes, he's got a great basketball IQ, and that works in his benefit. But I think for him, he looks at it and says, and he may never admit this to you, but he looks at it and says, okay, we're getting our doors blown off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like, not that I don't really feel like doing it, but if I go out and try to score a bunch of points in a row and I start missing shots, I think he doesn't have confidence in his shot. Long-term confidence in his shot.
He's not as great a shooter as people make him out to be.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's kind of not a good foul shooter.
I think he
shot like 67% or something, which...
Yeah.
Isn't great.
No, it isn't. And so to me, I look at it and say, okay, if I'm LeBron and we're getting smoked and I try to put the team on my back and I start missing shots, are they going to turn around and try to blame me?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely going through his
head. For the long run. And so instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get us the best shot possible,
mm-hmm.
which I understand. And again, 90 times out of 100, you take the best shot. But when you're getting blown, probably more than that, 99 times out of 100.
Yeah.
But when you're getting blown out in a certain situation and that situation is going to change the outcome of your season, you don't have a choice. You're the best player in the world. The best shot, I don't give a shit about the freaking best shot.
Yeah.
Okay? If, you know, J.R. Smith is taking it, which J.R. Smith is really hot. But if Tristan Thompson is taking your best shot or Kyle Korver is taking it, like, that's not what I want. I don't want that. If I'm a Cavs fan, I want LeBron with the ball in his hand. I already said, and I fully believe it, he can go anywhere and do anything at any time in any spot on the floor. And so if that's the case, that's who I want with the ball. Not some other guy. I don't want, you know, Kyle Korver or J.R. Smith or Tristan Thompson or Kevin Love or any of those guys deciding my season. I want it to be LeBron. And maybe... you can say, okay, maybe Kyrie. Because Kyrie, I think, is at that level now, too.
Yeah,
where you can say, okay, he goes in the lane. I mean, it's like AI. He goes in the lane, and there's 4 big dudes, and he still hits it. And you're like, how the hell did that go in?
And you know what the difference between LeBron and guys like AI and all those guys from the 80s we were talking about and Jordan and a lot of those guys in the 90s is they have a pair of balls.
Right.
LeBron doesn't have that. LeBron can score, but he's... you know, there's nothing behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like...
well, it's... And it's a good point. I mean, I think that there have been times when he maybe has shown that he does. I think maybe it's a little bit of a blanket statement by you, but I like it. Nevertheless, I mean, you know, I
if
mean,
you win that game, you're going back home for game six.
Oh, they win that game, they're going to seven.
Don't let us win tonight.
Right. True. All right, Kevin Millar. It's true. I mean, I'm with you on that.
Petey in game five, Schill in game six. And right. Game seven, anything can happen.
And that's the truest thing, is that you have game seven's one game. It's right. one game. Right. And so anything can happen in a game seven. And if you win that game, you're going home in game six, you're going to win game six. And then it's one game. Who the hell knows what happens in game seven? And so, you know, game five was huge, and he just blew it. And again, to me, that really stuck out to me. And what's interesting is I'm looking at Twitter, like, no one's talking about the fact that LeBron's not taking shots. Like, it just felt like he was... I'm watching it saying...
People are so used to it now.
I guess, right? But I'm looking at it like, he looks like he's deferring a lot. You know, he's got the ball in his hand. He comes down and it just... And he's passing. And I'm like, I want him shooting. Like, why are they not... And I'm fine with it because I was rooting for Golden State. But, like, I was like, why isn't he shooting here? You know? And so... But I was just surprised that I'm looking at Twitter and I'm reading Twitter and but no one's mentioning the fact that LeBron's not shooting the ball. No one's talking about LeBron really needs to step up and this. It was like, wow, look at the Warriors. And that yes, that's true.
Right.
But from LeBron's standpoint, he has to come through and say, your run is fine, but I'm ending it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you go down and score again, great. I'll come down the other end and score again. And then if we turn you over, I'm going to come down and score again. Yeah. And if you got to score 10 straight points, you score 10 straight points because you're the best player in the world and your season depends on you doing that. And so he didn't want to, or he didn't understand the situation, which I think is bullshit because I think he probably did.
Did you see him on defense?
Yeah, God. That was a mess. Just
taking a step back and
I think was it
Iguodala friggin' dunk on him.
Was it you that I don't know? I couldn't remember if it was you. I was texting back and forth. It was just like he is terrified of getting dunked on. Terrified.
Oh,
of
he getting totally dunked is. On. Yeah, he is.
You know, and it's in his mind. If I get dunked on, that's gonna be on a poster somewhere, and I'm gonna be, and someone's gonna say,
insecure.
Look at the time when I dunked on LeBron's head, and it's like. Dude,
you've been the eight finals.
It's basketball.
Stop being so insecure.
Right. It's basketball. You know, it's just like that's the way it goes. It's like when AI crossed up Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, AI crossed up Michael Jordan. That's awesome. That's a great moment. Does that tarnish Michael Jordan's legacy because AI crossed him up? Like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, you know, just and so it's like go up for that.
Jordan probably dropped 60 on him.
Right, he probably did, right? So, but go up for that, and, you know, and maybe you block it. Like, who knows? But it's just like, man, there was so many of those where they'd come through the lane, and you just, like, quit. And it was just, like, it was ugly. It was really ugly. So,
you know, what's his legacy if he goes to two or three more finals and wins one out of the three? And he's 4-7 in the finals?
If he's 4-7 in the finals, then you have to look at it and say... I mean,
like you have to go over 500. I think
you have to. He has to go over 500, or he has to be so many times that it's just stupid. Like if he goes, you know, like 7-7 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah,
you know, like then okay, now you're looking at saying he's got seven rings. Like fine. So, but either he has to go over 500, or he has to at least reach 500. But it has to be, he has to win six or seven if that's the case. You can't even make the argument with him being the greatest player of all time. Because, again, on paper, greatest player of all time. Right. I don't think there's much of a debate. I mean, you can debate it if you want. But, dude, I mean, just with the ball in his hand, it's ridiculous. And,
yeah,
you know.
It's. I mean, even if he wasn't in all these finals, I think we'd still be talking about him in that way.
Yeah, because physically, you just watch
we've
him
never
play.
Never seen anything like
and
that.
It's ridiculous.
You know,
you know?
Like, Kobe is comparable to Jordan just because of the style of basketball that they played. But LeBron, like I was saying, he's a hybrid of
everybody.
The five greatest basketball players that ever lived.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. And he'll make a good coach someday, and I can't wait for him to lose more finals when he's a coach. What's his record going to be like? 10-20?
Doesn't know how to call timeouts.
Yeah.
He's like Andy Reid clock management.
Blaming his players for everything.
Lord. I
can't wait.
Yep.
Jinx Coke. So enough about LeBron. I've had enough.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. We got nothing else for you today. We're ending the podcast. No. We got a few segments here at the end. We didn't get into any McGregor Mayweather bullshit crap.
We've got three months for that.
We got plenty of time. Red Sox, we'll get to you, Red Sox. We see you, okay? We see you. Now, listen, I just want, just very quickly on the Red Sox. The Red Sox blow. They suck, okay? David Price is a fucking disaster. Pablo Sandoval is, I think I'm a better baseball player than Pablo Sandoval is right now. Rick Porcel blow. Shout out Adam Jones. He's back.
Okay. Is that going to be his nickname on his shirt on Players Weekend?
Love it, dude. That'd be so awesome. But I will say, last 23 games, 16-7, best record in the majors since May 21st, and they're two games out of first place. Now, in these last 23 games, they've played a whole bunch of shit, except for the Yankees, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. Yeah. So, you know, can you tell a lot by that? No, but they're still winning, and, you know, they're playing ugly against some really shitty teams. Philadelphia's awful, and they went to extra innings twice, back-to-back walk-off games
against them, but they won, right?
And so you say, if you win, you win. A win's a win, and that's the way it goes. And so, you know, but it'll be interesting.
Wait for that stretch from mid-August to mid-September
Dave Dombrowski, look, this is the thing for me. At the trade deadline, it's the Stan Pat movement. I'm taking the Celtics movement and I'm bringing it to the Red Sox. Just leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
We've gutted freaking farm system enough. Mm-hmm. I'd love another bullpen arm, but I'm done giving up prospects.
Well, Tyler Thornburg, he's out for the year.
Oh no. Well, you know what though? He's gonna be back in 18, so that's good.
That's good. That's great. That was worth trading Travis Shaw.
Awesome. That was great. Yeah. No, you know what? Our third base is all set, so we don't have to worry about Travis Shaw.
The belt burster himself at third base.
So anyways, we'll get into more Red Sox in the coming weeks, hopefully, we assume. But anyways, that's just a really quick Red Sox thing. Maybe next week they may not be two games out of first base anymore. But even still, that's where we're at. So we'll get right into this week in sports history. I know you have two. I have one big week this week.
Jam-packed week.
On this week in sports history. Why don't you go, then I'll go, then you go. How about we do that?
That sounds good.
Right, let's do it.
6 years ago today, the Bruins won their first cup in 39 years.
2011.
One of the best sports moments of my life.
That was awesome.
Awesome series. It was the best. I mean, they shut Vancouver up. I loved it because we had a great heel in the Canucks.
Oh, yeah.
And Luongo. Actually, I like Luongo now. He's a good follow on Twitter. He's pretty funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Check him out.
But yeah, I hated them that series. I hated Vancouver that series.
Oh, they went to the Sedin sisters. They were terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
you didn't kick my, you know what? What I mean, you didn't pump up my tires. I've been saying good things about him. You can't pump my. Like, what are you nuts, dude? Like, he's the opposing goaltender. He's gonna like say nice things about you in the media. It was lunacy.
Yep. And 6 years later, Tim Thomas is in a bunker somewhere.
Waiting for the zombie.
Listening to Alex Jones and huge beard.
Yeah. Oh my lord, that guy! Yeah. I'm sure he's pretty happy with the president, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure that delighted him.
But just a perfect, perfect run by them. I mean, just a lot of fun that whole playoff run.
Yeah.
And Horton putting the garden water on the ice in Vancouver. So awesome. Whitey Bulger being at the game, which is true.
It's just unbelievable.
I know.
Whitey was at Game 7,
and
just ridiculous.
I think I said it a few weeks ago, but still one of the most surreal things I've ever seen is the Bruins raising the Stanley Cup.
That was awesome.
Like, I didn't even do that in video games because I never thought it was realistic.
It was crazy. I mean, it really was kind of unbelievable. And they won back when Orr was there, but we had never seen it.
No.
You know, and we just always assumed that they would never do it. And they're down 2-0 to Vancouver, and you're like, oh my God, they have no chance. And then they come back and obviously win in 7, and it was... Yeah, that was a hell of a moment, and the parade was awesome, and that was pretty sick. Mm-hmm. That was a special year.
Yeah, absolutely, like the Bruins do, they screwed it up right after.
Yeah, of course, why wouldn't they? So, but you know, anyways, so okay, mine is June 14th, which was yesterday, 1998. That was Jordan's Game 6 crossover against Byron Russell is the play that everyone remembers.
He hit the offensive foul. Right at the end.
yeah, but, you know, whatever.
shove him into the first row.
That's true. That is true. But
he's MJ. He can do that.
That is very. That's a good point. So it was his last finals win. As a matter of fact, what's interesting about that is he actually retired in January that year.
There's a lockout.
Because they lockout. Mm-hmm. Like right after that, they locked him out, retired in January. And then he came back a few years later, but he was a part owner of the Wizards when he came back. So he was playing for himself, basically.
Right.
And what I didn't know, which I thought was interesting, is that when he came back, I believe 01 was the first year he came back, and he... He donated his entire playing contract to the 9/11 fund, which I thought was pretty cool.
Because he announced it originally on 9/11. That morning, the report came out. And I remember getting ready for school, and I used to watch SportsCenter religiously back then. And I remember saying, oh, that's going to be the biggest news story of the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess. Just a little
just
off
a bit
on
off
that.
On that one. So yeah. What's interesting about 98... The Jazz, who obviously they beat in that finals, had swept Kobe and Shaq in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. It was both their second year for the Lakers. So that was kind of, it was like the very beginning of that Lakers run.
Yep.
So, and again, Jordan was Finals MVP all six times he won the championship, which if LeBron wins the championship, I mean, he's been three Finals MVPs. Yeah. He'll win the Finals MVP every time. It's just the way it is, right? But one thing I was looking up, Shaq left Orlando when he was 24 years old. Can you even believe that? Like, this just makes me sick, dude. He was 24 years old when he left Orlando.
He didn't go to form a super team either.
He didn't. He didn't.
Had nobody then.
No, because
Axel and Eddie Jones.
Kobe was picked number 13. They had no idea that he was going to be the guy he was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he didn't go to form a super team. He just went to the fucking Lakers as usual. So.
But that game 6 in 98 is one of my favorite games ever. Just because that last sequence, that final minute,
yeah,
Jordan just takes over. And, you know, I remember, I think the year before, Karl Malone had two foul shots to seal the game. And it was on a Sunday night. And Scottie Pippen walked by him and said, hey, mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays. And he missed both foul shots.
That's awesome.
Karl Malone. I used to say LeBron was the Karl Malone of his generation.
Right,
so,
because
I mean, not so much
Malone
now,
could
but,
never get to that point. Yeah, but yeah. That's a good analogy.
Just my favorite, one of my favorite games to rewatch. So much rewatchability in that game. If it's ever on ESPN Classic, turn it on.
Well, and for those of you that don't, I mean, you've probably seen the Byron Russell, the play.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't, you've definitely seen the leaping fist pump from Jordan.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most iconic pictures.
Yes.
Certainly of him, you know, other than him jumping
Pippen,
from the free throw line. But, you know, him jumping up, you know, with the fist pump.
He has so many iconic moments, though.
He really did. He was a hell of a...
He's the Beatles of sports.
Right.
Because he has the shrug after hitting, nine threes in the first half. He's got, of course, the jump man, the dunk, in the dunk contest. Another thing LeBron's never done, Skip Bayless will tell you that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You just lost all credibility by mentioning Skip Bayless.
But he had the switch. Remember the switch where he's going left hand and then switches over to right hand for the layup?
Right, yep.
He had the flu game, which is the one you were just talking about.
Yep. Yep.
Like in the 63 points against the 86 Celtics in the playoffs in the Boston Garden.
He was a fucking monster.
So, I mean, a lot of guys, LeBron doesn't have the iconic moments just yet.
Right. Like, He might at some point, but he's getting old.
Yeah, that's true. And so, time's running out. But he never had a steal like Bird.
Nope.
Baby hook like Magic. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Again, more bashing on LeBron.
Yeah, we just can't help it.
He'll never be in that fraternity.
Just can't help it. So, all right, what's the next one?
And what's today? What, Thursday?
Today is Thursday the 15th, yep.
15th. So Saturday the 17th will be the 23rd anniversary of the O.J. Simpson Ford Bronco chase.
What
infamous,
unbelievable
low-speed chase on the L.A. freeway.
In the backseat.
Which, if social media was around then.
Oh, my God. I just couldn't. Could you even imagine? Like, you could probably follow it live on Twitter.
I'd be glued to it.
Oh, absolutely. People are glued to it anyways.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I was 8 years old, and getting ready to watch the NBA Finals that night.
Yep.
And, yeah, the OG is freaking...
That was just wild.
The juice totally was loose. Wild. But a good 30 for 30, I don't know if you've seen it. It's called 6-17-94. It's one of the first 30 for 30s they did.
I think, you know what, I don't know if I saw the whole thing, but I've seen bits and pieces.
And what it is, there's no narration or anything. It's just news clippings or videos or whatever of that day in sports. And what happened that day was, it was Arnold Palmer's last U.S. Open.
Yep.
Ken Griffey hit his 30th home run of the year. I think he was the first guy in like 70 years to hit 30 before July 1st.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. The Rangers had their Stanley Cup parade.
Yep.
It was Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it was a wild day in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have OJ, you know, as like the dark part of that whole thing.
Low speed chase threatening to blow his head off in the back. I mean, just total lunacy.
Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy time. Another surreal thing, but...
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's a
crazy TV day, that one was.
Yeah,
That 9/11 and, like, the Boston bombings when they were catching the...
oh, that was nuts.
The two bombers. The Boston bombings. Those are crazy TV days.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, so that's our This Week in Sports History. Warrior one to watch. Dude, again... Again, it's just like, come to us. You want to know what to watch, just come to us. Last week we talked about the Summer X Games, you know, which have been pretty good. We also talked about, you brought up the Celtics Lakers 30 for 30,
which
the fucking 5 hours.
I haven't watched it yet. I taped it, but from what the reviews I've heard, Donnie Wahlberg ruins it. Like, he ruins most things.
Yeah, well, I mean,
hell, why does he have to be in everything? Why does that stupid family have to be in every Boston-related show?
Because they're in Hollywood. Because
they have Boston
accents.
And they
identify... Exactly. And they identify with them as Bostonians, really, is what they do. And they're older than Matt Damon, and so Matt Damon is a Bostonian too, but he's
Mark
more...
Mark Wahlberg left the Super Bowl. Yeah. The third quarter was a blowout. His kid wasn't sick.
No, his kid was sick. No. It was totally legit. His kid was sick.
It just aggravates the hell out of me.
It was, I will tell you, the first 3 hours, I've only watched the first 3 hours, were fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Does it do the whole Celtics-Lakers history, like,
everything.
Back to the 60s?
Way back to the 60s. It's awesome. Okay. It's so awesome. So, yeah, that one, it's a lot of fun. So, anyways, hopefully we'll get you this one as well. America's Cup in Bermuda. It's sailing. That's right, baby. June 17th to June 27th. Crazy thing about America's Cup here, okay? Started in 1851. It's one of the oldest running trophies that still goes along, okay?
Is it every year or every...
It's every few years. It's okay. Not every year. It's every few years. The rules are a little convoluted, okay? But you want to talk about dynasties, okay? We talk about dynasties and super teams and whatnot, okay? So, the New York Yacht Club...
Course.
Won the, right? It had to be New York. The New York Yacht Club first won the America's Cup in 1857, 6 years after it started, okay? They held it for a while. A few years. And typically you think a few years, like, oh, whatever. The next time that they lost, the next time the trophy was held by anyone other than the New York Yacht Club was 1983. 126 years later was the next time a different yacht club won. So, you know, you talk about dynasties, that's a hell of a dynasty. So the New York Yacht Club, watch out for them. Maybe, I mean, I don't even know. I have no idea who's competing this year, but it is a lot of fun. It's held in Bermuda now, and people go down to Bermuda and watch it. Supposedly, it's a really cool take. If you ever get down to Bermuda to see it, it's kind of bounced around. It used to be in England, but now it's down in Bermuda. So,
one person has won an America's Cup and a World Series. Who is it?
What? Mm-hmm. What the fuck kind of question is that? one person's won an America's Cup and a World Series?
Yes.
As a player?
No.
No. Terry Francona. No, that's ridiculous. No, I don't know.
Tito. No, it wasn't
he
Tito.
Seems like the sailing type.
Yeah, I guess.
You know? Like...
You want the answer?
Of course I want the answer.
The answer is Ted Turner.
Ted, oh, that douche, of
course.
Former
owner of the Atlanta Braves and World Championship
Wrestling. Oh, see, now I was thinking that he was like, I was thinking he was actually sailing, but he just owned a boat and owned a team.
He might have been sailing, I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't know. I didn't read that much into it. But just imagine if, like, Goodell was the commissioner of the America's Cup back then, and all the other owners would have been like, New York Yacht New Club's York winning Club. All the championships.
Fucking burn the Yacht Club down or something like that. So, I don't know what happened. I'm not sure what happened, but they, you know, maybe
something's up with the sales.
Yeah, so. I think something happened with the sales in there. We gotta check that out. You lose, you know, you're going to have to start 20 seconds after everyone else just to make it fair, you know? Anyways, that's how Warrior went to watch. We're getting a little off topic here. So listen, here's what's going to happen next week, okay? Next week, we're doing a draft special, okay? We're going to be recording during the draft, okay? So we're not going to start probably until about 9, so the draft is going to be going, draft starts at 7. 7 or 7:30. So the draft's going to already happen. The Celtics will have already taken Markelle Fultz number one. Notice how we haven't talked to any NBA draft because there's no real drama.
Yeah, there really is.
We already know who the Celtics are taking. The only really interesting thing to me is who Lonzo Ball is going to go to.
Me too.
And so we'll see what happens there.
So I got a feeling he's going to slip.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
And it'll be like the Johnny Manziel thing where they just keep the camera on him after every pick.
That would be so awesome if he ends up somewhere fucking terrible like Milwaukee.
But I have a feeling he'll force himself to L.A.
Probably, but you never know.
Not him, his old man.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. So, but that'll be interesting. So we'll have kind of a breakdown of what's happened already,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll have some updates for you as we're recording who gets drafted, and we'll kind of give you some reaction to those guys as well.
Should be interesting.
It should be, right? So now, again, we're not live, so but it will be in your, when you wake up on Friday morning, the first person you can get information from is us. I don't know if you trust us more than you trust ESPN, but why the fuck not? ESPN blows, so, like, whatever.
ESPN lies.
Yeah, good point. ESPN does lie. So, but that's it for this week. So, again, email us, tweet us. Our email and Twitter handle is the same. It's Weekend War Pod, no E's. So, WKNDWARPOD. That's our Twitter handle. And, again, it's the same thing at gmail.com if you want to email us. And that's it. And we'll see you next week.